Well, according to my next guest, the U.S. military is purposely misdiagnosing alien vets to cheat them out of disability and medical benefits and lower the cost of the Iraqi war. That's according to Joshua Kors, a freelance journalist based in New York. He reveals the details in an article titled How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, which appeared in the April 9th edition of The Nation magazine. Morning, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Blair.
So, talk to me about U.S. Army Specialist John Town.
Well, John Town was stationed in Ramadi, Iraq, and he was very near a rocket explosion there at the base. The base knocked him unconscious, and when he came to, since then he's had significant hearing problems, went largely deaf, also had memory issues, and a lot of the other issues that one associates with traumatic brain injury, anger problems, and the like. The Army recognized his injury with a Purple Heart, but when it came time to discharge him, they did not discharge him due to his wounds. They discharged him with a pre-existing psychological condition called a personality disorder, and that's significant because by doing it that way, they never have to pay him disability or medical benefits for the rest of his life.
Now, did he actually physically take shrapnel from that bomb?
He did. They had shrapnel removed from his neck, and it took a while for his ears to stop leaking blood.
So he was right there when it hit.
Yes, he was 2 feet away.
And this personality disorder, what does that mean? Does that mean then that VA or whoever no longer has any obligation to treat this person, or what?
That's exactly it. A personality disorder is a pre-existing condition that one has before he joins the Army, one so severe that he cannot serve properly in the armed forces, and this case goes well beyond John's situation itself. Over the course of the last 6 years, 22,500 soldiers have been diagnosed and discharged with this pre-existing personality condition.
That's a lot of crazy people.
It's a lot of crazy people, and what's interesting is that the Army structure is set up to stop these diagnoses. Soldiers are screened twice before serving in Iraq, once when they join the Army and once when before they deploy. And in all of the cases I reviewed across the country, the Army's own medical records show that these soldiers were perfectly healthy. It's only after they return from the war significantly wounded that this pre-existing condition is discovered.
So you're saying that they're screened, they seem healthy, they seem mentally sound, and then all of a sudden this personality disorder thing shows up on their records and they're discharged.
That's right. Their medical and psychological fitness is recorded in the Army's own documents. It's only after they're wounded that this shows up on the Army's radar.
Now, who makes that diagnosis? Is it a doctor in the Army? Is it somebody at the VA? Who's making this decision that all of a sudden we've got 23,000 soldiers with a pre-existing personality disorder?
Well, it's made by the doctors at the Army hospitals across the country. But in my investigation, I found that there was significant pressure from the military brass at each fort to make these false diagnoses. I spoke with one Army lawyer who said that he knew that the commanders were doing this because they had come to him and told him directly that they were.
So you're saying that there's a chain of command here that is basically telling the docs at these Army posts to discharge these people with personality disorder?
That's right. There's a mix of command. The medical diagnosis system gets polluted by the Army command, who pushes for a certain diagnosis, which leads to a certain discharge, which leads these soldiers to never be able to collect disability or medical benefits. And they also have to give back their signing bonuses. That means that so many of these wounded soldiers leave the Army, finding out on their final day that they owe the Army several thousand dollars.
Now, the VA, what is the VA required to do? Who are they required to treat and under what conditions? How does that work?
The VA is required to treat soldiers who were wounded during service. If one's determined to have a pre-existing condition, that those wounds would not come from service. And so the VA is not required to treat a soldier in that situation.
So in this particular case, Specialist John Towne can't go to the VA and get treated?
It's much more complicated. There are politics at each individual VA across the country, but the VA has a free hand not to treat them after they receive this personality disorder discharge.
What exactly is a personality disorder under the Army regs? How's that
well, that's an interesting thing, too. The specificity of what can and cannot be diagnosed a personality disorder is very clear in the Army's own manual. It's a pre-existing condition that one has before joining the service in which one's inability to function on a manageable psychological level as an everyday service person is so compromised that he needs to be discharged. There's a further irony in John's case because the Army's manual says that personality disorder cannot be diagnosed following a head injury, and that was clearly the case in his situation.
So the Army's own records say that he should have been treated differently.
That's correct.
So you looked at a lot of forts and a lot of medical records. Your determination is that you believe this is being done on purpose.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. Nobody involved in these cases really disputes that besides the Army. If you look at the example for Richard Dykstra, who was serving at Fort Stewart, he suffered a bilateral hernia in Iraq. When he returned and needed to be discharged, they determined that that hernia was a pre-existing psychological condition.
It's 9:19. We're talking with Joshua Kurz, a freelance journalist based in New York. His article, How Specialist Towne Lost His Benefit, appears in the April 9th edition of The Nation magazine. And if you just tuned in, you're listening to Midday Utah on KPCW Park City, also heard on KCPW in Salt Lake. So what's the Army telling you?
Well, just yesterday I received a statement from Lieutenant Colonel Bob Tallman, a spokesman from the U.S. Army. He writes that he has, the Department of the Army has looked at John's case and hundreds of others from across the country and determined that the diagnosis in each case was perfectly sound. So really, this scandal is not going to move forward unless there's a public outcry leading to congressional investigation.
I guess I don't quite get why it would be that the Army would go out of its way to do this. I mean, what's at stake here? Is it, if somebody ends up going on disability, does it cost the government a lot of money?
It sure, certainly does. There's a tremendous amount at stake. To determine just how much money the military would be saving, I looked at Harvard professor Linda Bilmes' excellent study from this year about the cost of the war and treating the veterans. Using those figures, over the course of these soldiers' lifetime, they're going to be saving $8 billion in disability pay and $4.5 billion in medical care.
So you're saying that it's the money?
Well, that's part of it. From a ground level, when you look at the situation, the motivation these doctors at the fort have, these hospitals are simply overrun. And every time you can usher a soldier out quickly using this personality disorder discharge, you free up a bed that three or four soldiers waiting in the wings need. So speed and convenience, lack of materials, is another aspect of it. When you discharge someone with a personality disorder, they can be out of the fort within about 5 days. If you diagnose them correctly as having been wounded during service, they have to go before a med board, and the medical staff there determines just how wounded a soldier is and what depth of disability pay he'll receive over his lifetime. To go before med board, it takes about 6 months.
So Are you saying that the system is being overwhelmed, that we didn't appropriate enough money to take care of these vets?
Oh, I don't think there's a doubt about that. Nobody expected this war to go on this long and to have this many returning wounded soldiers needing lifetime treatment.
So why haven't I heard about this until now, Joshua?
Well, that's a very good question. I think, you know, I'm the first person to put all the pieces together. I've been investigating this for 6 months. But I think another answer is that all the veterans' rights folks that I've been speaking to, they've been receiving flood of cases like this for over a year now. It seems to be only the upper-ups of the Army and those in Congress that are unaware of this situation.
So the veterans' rights groups are screaming about this as well?
Absolutely. They're being overrun by soldiers who are coming back to them saying, wait a minute, I was wounded by a rocket, by a hernia, or my son had schizophrenic delusions upon coming back from war. That was the case with Chris Mosier. He was perfectly healthy upon entering Iraq, ended up having schizophrenic delusions, also like William Woldridge. And in these situations, they were diagnosed with this pre-existing condition. In William's case, it meant he was so unhealthy, he was basically confined to his apartment in Arkansas since then. In Chris's case, because he didn't get the right diagnosis, he didn't get the right treatment, and he ended up committing suicide.
Yep, we heard kind of the same story after the first Iraq War, did we not?
Well, I haven't looked into that war. I'm not really clear to say. But certainly that is what's happening in this situation.
Now, why would doctors do such a thing? I mean, isn't their job to correctly diagnose patients and to make sure that soldiers get the treatment that they need?
It is. It's a real corruption of the Hippocratic Oath. And it's sad that that is what's happening when you're mixing the politics of the Army with, you know, the medical staff in each of these forts. As I said, again, there's the pressure on them from the money. They're also being overwhelmed by the lack of resources they have there. And, you know, I think besides the money, besides the political pressures, I think we also have to look at the personal cost. I think of the case of Thomas Aiello. He came back with standard post-traumatic stress conditions, flashbacks, trouble sleeping. He went in for help at his Army's medical hospital and was diagnosed and discharged with this personality disorder. He, as he said to me, after that, all of the soldiers suffering the same PTSD symptoms in his unit certainly weren't going to go to receive medical help because they knew what would happen to them.
We're talking with Joshua Kors, freelance journalist based in New York. His article, How Specialist Town Lost His Benefits, appears in the April 9th edition of The Nation magazine. And you're listening to KPCW Park City, KCPW Salt Lake. So, Joshua, I've got about 4 minutes left here. What happens next year? You're saying the military sent you a letter yesterday saying you got it wrong.
That's right. Well, it's not just me. Steve Robinson of the esteemed veterans organization, Veterans for America in D.C., took John's case and a bunch of others to the Deputy Surgeon General of the U.S. Army. Senator Kit Bond was also in on that meeting. Bond floated the idea of having congressional investigation, but they've stalled it with a lack of action and haven't been responding since then. Then followed up yesterday with this statement by the U.S. Army. So at this point, it's pretty much stalled unless there's a push forward from the public.
What are the vet rights groups telling you? What's their next thing?
Well, they don't really know. I think, you know, at this point, it's a matter of taking it to the public. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes work to fix things in each case, going to each individual congressman to try to get it fixed quietly. In John's case, there was an interesting thing. His congressman took it to the Pentagon. The Pentagon called him up and gave him an ultimatum, said that he would erase his debt if he just quietly went away and didn't worry about his personality disorder discharge status.
So I still don't get it. I mean, the Army, certainly in the wake of the whole Walter Reed thing, doesn't really want another VA or another medical scandal, do they?
Maybe they don't, but they have one on their hands. This has been going on for quite a while.
Why don't they just ask Congress for more money? I don't get it. I mean, if you've got returning wounded soldiers that aren't being treated, don't you go get an emergency appropriation or something?
Well, that's certainly one step they can take. My investigation really looked at the ground floor of this, the treatment that the soldiers are getting, and it's not happening. If the Army feels like it can correct this problem by receiving further funds from the Congress, I think that would be a strong step.
So off the record, what are the officers and the docs telling you? Are they actually admitting to you that they're doing this?
No. Actually, on the record, I spoke with Dr. Wexler, who was key in several of these cases at Fort Carson. He denied the financial aspect. I can get into that. The doctors are directly telling the soldiers that if they go along with this personality disorder discharge, they'll get disability benefits, they'll get medical care from the VA, and they'll get to keep their bonus, when those things are flatly false. He denied giving that financial advice, but did not would not comment on any of his diagnoses. And I can tell you a little bit more about what his boss, the head of the Department of Behavioral Health, said. He had some very complicated and convoluted reasons as to why these diagnoses are being given. Information that was directly disputed by a professor from the University of California, San Francisco, who's been dealing with personality disorder for many years.
So I guess I don't get it. If this is systematically happening, why aren't the trial lawyers all over this? I mean, I would think this would be a huge class lawsuit.
Well, I think it could be in the coming years. But as I said, you know, I'm breaking this story. The word is just getting out to the public. And a lot of these wounded soldiers, they don't know what actions to take. They go back. They're severely wounded. And right now they're just trying to cope day by day. Starting a major legal action is not directly on their agenda.
The Nation magazine does not appear next to the National Enquirer at my grocery checkout, Joshua. So if folks would like to find your article, how do they do that?
Go to thenation.com.
Joshua Kurz, I appreciate your time.
Thank you.